Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The news, not good for the old Miami Heat, as they will come back and play tomorrow in game two of the play-in tournament. Heat and Bulls at the Kaseya Center, 7 o'clock start. We'll have that game for you right here on WQAM. The man who handles the pregame is Alex Solana, and he will join us in the next segment. We'll get his early thoughts on what he saw last night, and our early thoughts here, Omar, that the Heat are in deep trouble because Jimmy Butler is dealing with what Shams came out last night, said that it is an MCL injury. And there are fears that this could sideline Jimmy Butler indefinitely. You get the indefinitely there, so you don't even know. They don't even set a timetable yet. He will get an MRI today. Again, I have a very hard time believing he's going to play tomorrow. I can't imagine that would be the case.
You don't see him getting wheeled out to the court like Paul Pierce.
Jimmy's a tough dude, so I don't want to like. I don't want to shovel dirt on the guy yet.
I mean,
but like,
this is kind of one of those injection games, you know. You shoot it up and kind of.
Yeah, I also don't think he wants to ruin his career over it.
Very true. Because according to Dave, he's sitting on, what, $200 million coming up?
And I'm not a doctor, so like, I don't want to pretend to be a doctor here this morning. I have any idea about any of these injuries. I don't know. Tear, sprain, whatever. I don't know any of this stuff. That's not my wheelhouse. My wheelhouse is knowing that he didn't look right in that second half, and he was a non-factor in that game, and it is...
I'm being called out on Twitter for Tyler Hero.
What'd you do?
For endorsing Tyler Hero's shot selection and pointage and attempts.
So I think the thing with Tyler Hero, it's relatively simple, right? So I think with Tyler Hero, and the Heat made their playoff run last year without Tyler Hero.
Yes.
Tyler Hero is a volume player.
Yes.
There is no debating that. He is a volume type of guy, and you can see it. I mean, even when Jimmy's healthy, like you can see Tyler's got to get his shots up because that's just the type
and
of player
he is. And I
think
that they're okay
with
that.
It's okay. It's not a bad thing necessarily. But last night became a situation where who's going to do it? Someone's got to do it.
Like, someone has to take the shot.
Someone has to take this game, into their hands and try to do something.
Was it going
to
be Bam?
It wasn't
not.
Bam. And look, the Bam
could
stuff
it be
is
Bam?
Unfortunate. I've said this
about
Bam.
Would you ever be comfortable with Bam taking 25 shots a game?
I've said this about Bam throughout his entire career. Bam is not a player where you can feed him the ball at the top of the key and say, "Go to work, man."
I don't know if I agree with you on that.
That type of player.
Bam, I don't know if I agree with you on that.
Bam on the offensive side of the ball is a complimentary player. He is not Joel Embiid, where you can feed him the ball at the top of the key, and he has range. Like Bam's,
I know he's been
hitting some threes here and there. I know
but
he's not Joel Embiid when he shoots. No, this is what it is, Homer. I'm telling you what it is.
No. I don't think you're being fair. Because
I'm telling you what it is.
I listen to the OG podcast with Udonis Haslem. See,
okay.
You're not keeping up with the podcast game.
I know.
You're not, and that's to my disappointment.
I don't keep up with the podcast game.
The OG podcast, Udonis Haslem and Mike Miller, and they had on Michael Beasley. You know how credible he is.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking, and he's like, the only player I cannot beat in a one-on-one basketball game is Bam.
Okay.
Think about who Michael Beasley is.
Yeah, I want to first off tell you, I don't care what Michael Beasley has to say about anything. So that's, you know, whatever. I will tell you that I've been pretty consistent on myself with Bam. I think that Bam is an exceptional player. I think he's an all-star. I think he's good enough to be on Team USA, which he is. But he is just not he is not an offensive guy that you can feed the ball to at the top of the key.
You can.
And say, go to work and do your thing. That is not his game. Bam is
it's not his game, but you can if you wanted to.
I don't agree with you on that. Respectfully,
I didn't agree with them having him serve as the point center
I just don't agree with you on that one with Bam. So I don't think that he is the kind of guy that you can say, like with Tyler Hero last night, hey, Bam, go out there and take 25 shots and figure it out.
Now, did I say that I want him to do that? No, but I said he can. You could feed him the ball at the top of the key, and he could get you buckets. He can, even against Embiid.
Yeah, I mean, I disagree. I still think that he needs to be a complimentary player. But
that's how he's used best.
Well, defensively, he's clearly an elite player. Elite. One of the best in the league defensively. So, again, Bam has his every player has their shortcomings. Bam has his offensively, no question. But I don't feel like this is like let's pile on Bam Day. Again, like Tyler Hero, it was a situation where someone had to do it, man. There were, you know, you got no Terry Rozier. You had Jimmy Butler, who essentially was out of the game.
Yeah.
So who's going to step up?
I don't
disagree
with you.
Tyler Hero had to do it, you know, and it's not an ideal situation, but
did he have to do it? Could you, if you give Bam 25 shots in that situation, how successful would they have been?
You can't do that, man, because first of all, Embiid is tough.
Yeah, you're right.
He's a tough dude to score on. Bam doesn't have range. You know, Bam can hit
from shooting three-pointers.
He can hit from the mid-range. Bam is not a three-point shooter, man. Embiid is a three-point shooter.
Yes, he is.
Embiid can step out and he can knock down threes. Bam is not the guy you want shooting. You don't feel comfortable with Bam shooting. That lineup that he went with last night, he's the last guy that should be shooting from long range. Let's just be honest, man. But, you know, look, again, Tyler Hero had to do what he had to do last night. It's unfortunate. It sucks because, you know, again, Jimmy Butler would have had the ball in his hands in the fourth quarter of that game, and Jimmy would have closed out that damn game, and he would have won last night if Jimmy wasn't on a bad knee. The Heat would have won that basketball game. They were playing. Look how great they played in the first half. Look how great they played. They had a 14-point lead in the first half. They outscored Philly 28-17 in the second quarter, and it was all Sixers in the second half because, again, you had Jimmy on one leg, and, you know, Miami is only going to go as far in the postseason as Jimmy Butler will take them. And I think we've seen that from 2020 in the finals on, and, you know, the Heat have had very great complementary pieces, no question about it. Last year you had some guys that certainly stepped up and earned themselves a lot of money. Look at Max Strus, look at Gabe Vincent. Those guys stepped up and, you know, they earned themselves some big paydays. And, you know, I think the Heat have guys that have stepped up. Look at Jaime Jaquez as a rookie who is playing well. And, you know, Hayward Highsmith.
This isn't about development. This isn't
at a relatively high level. Kevin Love stepped up and hit a few shots last night. But you're only going to go as far as your best players take you, and Jimmy Butler is by far and away the best player on this team, especially when it comes to playoff time. And, you know, if you look back at last season, look back at the season before, look at the efforts it took from Jimmy in last year's playoffs. Look at what he did against the Bucks,
yeah,
in that series. I mean, that was elite level playoff basketball,
and we were waiting for it all season. And
we did. We sat around and waited for it all season. And some guy clipped him on a weird play.
Some guy.
Kelly Oubre clipped him.
Name him. And, put a name on it.
Well, I don't know if we're going to get another shot at Kelly Oubre this postseason. I guess we won't. But, man, it is so unfortunate, man. I came in this morning and, you see the tweet from Shams, and it's like Jimmy's probably going to miss the rest of the way here. And it is so disheartening because you spent so much time waiting and hoping that you'd get another shot at a postseason run here, and really wanted the Knicks in the first round, man, just to shut some of these Knicks fans up. And, you know, the Knicks will get the Sixers now and the Heat if they can beat the Bulls, which is now turning into a bigger if than perhaps before, because Jimmy is, I'm going to say, highly unlikely to play. I don't want to say he's out.
Yeah.
But he's, I would say, highly unlikely.
We're on Jimmy watch. We're seeing if Jimmy's going to be wheeled into the game.
I can't imagine that we get some news that comes out
Jimmy
today
with a knee
where
brace.
They say Jimmy's MRI came back clean. There's nothing wrong with his knee at all. He's just good to go.
It's just going to be soreness.
I can't imagine that to be the case.
You don't
but...
believe in prayer? Prayer changes things.
Well, maybe some more religious people than me need to pray because we need help, man. We certainly need some help here this morning. But yeah, that is the situation we find ourselves in. We'll dive deeper into that. And I think Alex Solana is a great person to bring on because he follows his Heat team. He's at every single game.
Yep,
and
does
a
phenomenal
the pre,
job.
He works with Jason Jackson
at the pre and the post game.
He does, and he's close to this thing. So I'm not going to ask him to start breaking up the roster here. But I want to get his thoughts on Tyler Hero's play last night and what he thought, and we'll ask him about Bam because he's seen Bam as much as anyone. I got to tell you, I have had my take on Bam for a long time. I think he's an exceptional player. I think he gets a lot of crap from the fans that is undeserved. But at the same time, he is not a guy that is going to offensively take over a basketball game.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
And it is time to head back out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. Man, you hear on the broadcasts here for the Miami Heat along with Jason Jackson. He handles our pregame, our postgame. Alex Solana, of course, from the Hockman and Crowder show as well. Solana, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Is it a good morning, though? I have to ask. I got to tell you, man, I came in here this morning, and I felt like I had my guts ripped out because I was so excited to see playoff Jimmy and to get into this run that we have spent the entire regular season talking about, and it just feels like everything was ripped away in one ball game there, man. I don't know how you make sense of everything that happened, but we'll start with the Jimmy injury. And Alex, he clearly just was not himself in the second half.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, man, the Heat, you know, all their problems this season arose once again in that game yesterday in the second half. You know, a tale of two halves this season for the Miami Heat. Just look at, you know, their three biggest games of the season down the stretch. Where they lose to Philadelphia at home, they lose to Indiana on the road, and then they lost to the Dallas Mavericks at home as well. And you're looking at a team where in the first half against Philly, they dominate, and then fourth quarter time comes, and you go scoreless. 7 minutes in the fourth quarter, Philly comes back, they beat you on their home floor. Indiana, biggest game of the season on the road, you're down 22 points in the first half. You outscore Indy in the second half, but you were down 22 at one point in that game. And the same case against the Dallas Mavericks, where you get blown out in the first half. You make a really good run in the third. You bring it down to 8 points, but you were in that massive hole. And yesterday, you kind of saw the same issue with the Miami Heat, where they play an outstanding first half. They're up as many as 14 points, and they can't execute late. Injuries, once again, are the thing we're talking about after the game yesterday. And they get outscored in the second half. And, you lose to Nicholas Batum. I mean, I think that outside of the Jimmy Butler injury, that has to be the most frustrating part about last night, gentlemen, is that, you know, you go into the game, you're saying, hey, you got to contain Tyrese Maxey and you got to contain Joel Embiid. And at halftime, those two, they were combined 5 of 17. Mm-hmm. I mean, you executed your game plan to a T, but in the second half, what ends up happening? Nicholas Batum goes off. Guys, Nicholas Batum averages 5.5 points per game. And since the All-Star break, he's averaged less than 5 points per game. He's only scored in double figures 7 times this season. Think about that.
I'm just telling you, Solana, I looked it up. He's a free agent. I think he fits perfectly into the Miami Heat culture.
Yeah, whatever. The only thing I could think of, Solana, is that, you know, when the Heat did their scouting report, you know, they put together that packet of all the players, they probably also didn't realize that Nicholas Batum was still in the league. Is that possible?
I don't think anybody did.
I don't think anybody did.
And the crazy part is that when Nicholas Batum was traded earlier this year, it was on the LA Clippers. When he was traded, there was a lot of conversation, and he admitted it, that he thought about retiring because he just wasn't sure about his role, where he was going to end up, and how he was going to fit in Philadelphia. And here you are, April 17th, today, April 18th, and Nicholas Batum could have potentially ended your season. I mean, that to me is the biggest gut punch. It's not that Joel Embiid went off. It's not that Tyrese Maxey played the game of his life. It's not that two stars or a superstar former MVP had their way with you. It's that you let, you know, a washed up Nicholas Batum just go off on you yesterday, and he sparked all the momentum switching towards the Philadelphia 76ers last night. It's frustrating, man, because this Heat team all season long, we've kind of said, well, you got to see it through, right? You got to see how this team's going to perform in the postseason. Oh, they're back in the playing tournament. All right, fine, but Jimmy Butler's going to will you. And first quarter, you're watching a Jimmy Butler who, I'm not saying he was, you know, set up to go for 50 last night, but you saw the way that he was playing defensively. Mm-hmm. He had so many steals. He was playing free safety yesterday, and the Miami Heat had 9 steals in the first half. They had 17 points off of turnovers in that first half. I mean, everything was set up. They positioned themselves in the driver's seat at halftime to really coast to a victory.
I mean, that's what it looked like last night.
And all of a sudden, you look up, and here come the Sixers. Caleb Martin misses 2 free throws. The whole stadium goes nuts because they're getting free chicken nuggets. And that's when the game changed. And Miami, again, guys, like the biggest issues all season long, late game execution. Last year, they played in almost a record number of clutch games, but they were excellent in those clutch minutes. This year, they're one of the worst teams in the fourth quarter in clutch minutes, in fourth quarter efficiency. And here we are again, you know, biggest game of the season. They couldn't beat a team with a really good record, which has been an issue all season. They haven't been able to execute or score and find their offense late in games. That was an issue again. And now you're looking at a situation, instead of playing the New York Knicks, who I think we all would have enjoyed playing in the first round.
Well, it would have been a quick series.
I'm with you.
We would have mocked the crap out of them when we sent them home.
By the way, we're getting a lot of Nick hate this morning here. They're like, you guys deserve this and everything. But I want to look at the second half.
We actually do. We didn't take the regular season series.
I want to look at the second half of this game, Alex. And you know, Tyler Hero took 27 shots. And it just felt like somebody had to do it. It's like, I don't want to give Tyler Hero, like, I don't want to give him a hard time today, because somebody had to step up and take those shots, because in the fourth quarter of that game yesterday, that's Jimmy Butler time. And he clearly was not able to do it, or he would have. So Tyler Hero, I thought, did the best he could, man. He stepped up, and he certainly tried to will him to a win. I know Batum got that late block on his game-tying three-point attempt, but, you know, Tyler Hero did what he had to do last night. I think it's very fair to give him a hard time this morning.
Yeah, I mean, I'm mixed about that take right there, because, look, Tyler Hero missed the postseason run last year, and a lot of this season was kind of him trying to prove to everybody, hey, I'm a legit starter in this league. I'm a legit star caliber player in this league. And I think his opportunity coming into that game yesterday when Jimmy Butler goes down is to prove that, yeah, I'm somebody you can rely on to go win you an important game. And I'm not saying Tyler Hero is not, but yesterday what the Sixers are doing, all right, is they're playing drop coverage. They're playing Joel Embiid, but packing the paint. I mean, they're forcing the Miami Heat to beat them from the outside. And when you have a healthy Jimmy Butler, you know, you can offset that a little bit because Jimmy's going to try to get to the line, which he did, by the way, got to the line quite a bit in that first half. But once he gets injured, you know, your attacking threat is severely compromised. And you're just hoping that with the Bam Adebayo screens, it's enough to kind of create those pockets within the defense to go and try to get into that paint, try to get to the free throw line. But Miami, you know, after taking quite a few free throws in that first half, you saw a real decline in that second half. So what does that do? It opens up the mid-range game and those three-point attempts from the team. And I thought the Heat, you know, they hit enough threes yesterday to win that game, I thought. But when you look at Tyler Hero going 9 of 27, like, you know, Danny, he didn't execute well enough yesterday. He had the opportunities. I thought, especially in that first half, a lot of the shots he was getting, you know, he was getting to his spots. There were quality looks, efficient looks on that end. They just didn't go.
Now, that goes to a deeper subject, though, as far as whether this team can operate with Tyler Hero in the starting lineup. Because, again, like, I you know, this is another situation. Tyler Hero's a volume player. He has to have a certain amount of shots, and that's just part of his game. So, you know, again, the Heat made that run without him last year.
Yeah.
So you could certainly make the argument that things flow a little bit differently when he's not in that lineup. But with no Jimmy, no Rozier, and I continue to say this, I don't know what you think about Bam. I think Bam is an exceptional player. I think overall he is a fantastic player. He's just not the kind of guy that you can, you know, like Embiid, where you can just feed him the ball at the top of the key and just say, go do your thing and you know, create. Bam's a great complementary offensive piece, but I don't think he's a guy where you can just feed him the rock.
Omar thinks
differently because he doesn't understand basketball. But
tell him what you said to me. If Bam is at the top, he said, these are his exact words, Bam isn't the type of player that you can consistently feed him the ball at the top of the key.
You think yesterday, Alex, you can give Bam the ball at the top of the key with Joel Embiid on him and they're defending
You didn't put the qualifiers on there.
Leave Joel Embiid out of it.
Can you put Bam at the top of the key against the Chicago Bulls in tomorrow's game and ask him to take 25 shots and have success?
If you're without Jimmy Butler, I mean, there's going to be a lot of that. If you're without Jimmy Butler and, you know, Bam Adebayo is taking 9 field goal attempts like he did last night, that's not a really good sign, okay? And I understand it last night. I don't blame Bam Adebayo for his lack of offensive production yesterday because, you know, they're packing the paint, literally. I mean, they're playing a style, the Sixers are, where they're sending bodies at Bam Adebayo, they're sending bodies at Jimmy Butler. They're double-teaming those guys. They're trying to force anybody else to beat you yesterday. And, you know, 9 field goal attempts, in my opinion, is not enough for a guy like Bam. I'm not saying that he's capable of going off like Joel Embiid where you kind of just give him the ball and Embiid's going to post somebody up or go isolation at the top of the key and go win you ball games. Look, Bam Adebayo, a lot of people just look at him as, you know, a great defensive player, but there's a reason why the dude's an all-star. There's a reason why the dude is going to be playing for Team USA in the Olympics. Yes, it's because he's excellent on the defensive end and he anchors everything over there, but he's shown you that there are games where he can take 20, 25 field goal attempts and score 25, 30 points, get the double-double that you need him to. He has a face-up game, and truthfully, guys, you know, it sounds crazy, but a lot of the actions that the Miami Heat generate, it's being triggered by Bam at the top of the key. So can he just go face up? Can he, you know, be Joel Embiid? Can he be Nikola Jokic where everything is running through him? No, I don't think that's ideal, especially when you have Tyler Hero, especially when you have Jimmy Butler. A lot of the stuff he gets is getting downhill after a screen and roll. But the Heat do need him more involved in the offense. They do. There's no doubt about it. He can hit jumpers. He can hit fadeaway jumpers. He has the push shot around the rim. And once he gets down there, I mean, it's just a matter of force, and usually he wins those battles. But, yeah, I mean, yesterday you're kind of hoping that one of those two guys are going to step up because Jimmy Butler's down. And outside of a couple shots Tyler Hero hit late in the fourth quarter, he just missed too many shots yesterday. And Bam Adebayo wasn't put in those positions yesterday by the Heat offense, whether that was a lack of execution from the coaching staff or whether it was just a lack of execution from the players on the floor. You know, I look at that as an issue. for the Miami Heat, and it's been an issue a lot of times this season. Bam, you know, his free throw attempts per game has been down pretty much every single month this season. Once we turned the calendar year from January to now, he was averaging around 5 free throw attempts, then 4, then 3, and that's kind of where it's been this season. So you have to wonder, you know, when the team's looking at the tape last night flying home, they're saying, how weren't we able to get more opportunities for Bam Adebayo? But it just goes back to my first point, where that's a conversation you've had all season long. You've had the conversation all season long. How's Tyler Hero going to look in that starting lineup? Lack of continuity for this Heat team, and they're going to get one game to figure this out. But when you look at a situation without Jimmy Butler, and that's looking more and more likely, we're going to find out a little bit later today, hopefully by the time I'm on the air, whether or not he ended up, you know, hurting that MCL. Shams Charania reported last night, or if the MRI is going to be clean. It doesn't look like, with the way he was walking out of that stadium yesterday, he's going to be ready for a game tomorrow at 7 p.m. This game is going to have to be won in that pick and roll between Tyler and Bam Adebayo. And if those guys aren't shooting the ball efficiently, if Bam is 5 of 9 in that game for just 10 points, you saw what the Bulls did last night. You saw Kobe White go off for 40 points. You know DeMar DeRozan's capable of scoring the basketball as well. Where are those points going to come from? I don't know if we can sign Nicholas Batum to a one-day contract so he can come in and make some three-pointers for us. But the reality is, hey, you need those guys to score more points, because the Heat yesterday only scoring 104 points, it's just not going to be enough against pretty much any team the rest of the way, starting tomorrow with the Chicago Bulls.
That's crazy, man. To go from the excitement of getting into this thing and to dealing with the stuff with Jimmy, and you're right, we've talked about the Jimmy thing all morning. We don't see a scenario where the MRI is just tells him he's all good, and he's going to miraculously play tomorrow night. Seems like a stretch. And then even with that, Alex, now here's the other issue. Is you got the Celtics just sitting there waiting for you, and the Celtics have been the most consistent team probably in the NBA all season. You could certainly make the case, and that's an improved roster in Boston from what they had last year. And you would, theoretically, you would think going to that series without Jimmy for probably at least the first couple of games. Again, you have to think, judging by the way he was in that game last night, that he is going to miss a little bit of time.
Yeah, for sure. If it is a sprained MCL, if it's a torn MCL, well, his season's done. If it's a sprained MCL, minimum, right? You're looking at 3 to 4 weeks anyways. It's a brutal situation. I thought the Heat had it made yesterday where they could go into Philadelphia. It's a tough situation, but they can go into Philadelphia. They can beat a Sixers team that, clearly Joel Embiid was a little gassed. He's not 100% right just yet with that knee. And at times he was kind of bending over, laboring, rubbing on that knee as well. You go in there, you win a tough road game, but you've been better on the road this season than you have at home anyways. And that, at the very least, you get in that first round the New York Knicks, who you match up well against. It would be a tough series, all right? We can poke fun at the New York Knicks all we want, but hey, credit them, man. They went and they said, oh, Bucks, you're afraid of the 2 seed? You're tanking to avoid the 2 seed? Oh, Cleveland, you're tanking to avoid the 2 seed? You know what? Bleep it. We'll go, we'll take it, and we'll prove that we want that smoke. We're not afraid of going up against anybody. And whether or not they're good enough to get out of the East, I don't know. But we all know Miami would have preferred to play New York, especially without Jimmy Butler. If you get Terry Rozier back, your offensive production, I think it can survive to win a series against New York just based on the play style there. But, gentlemen, this is what happens when you lose a lot of games in the regular season that you shouldn't have lost in the regular season. We look back at that Washington home loss. There was a game this season, talking about the Chicago Bulls tomorrow, early November, where the Heat opened up the game up 22-1. Think about that. They were up 22-1 to start the game, and they ended up losing in Chicago. And then you lose the three biggest games of the season. You only finished your home record 3 games above 500 on your home floor. I mean, that's just not good enough. You're playing with fire, putting yourself in this situation time and time again. Had the Heat just won 2 more regular season games, they would have been a 5 or a 6 seed. They would have avoided this entire situation. They would have gotten 5 days off prior to starting the playoffs on Saturday. And Jimmy Butler wouldn't have been in this game with a possibility of getting hurt. And I mean, that's what you're looking at here. So, you know, as unfortunate as last night was, you credit the Heat for playing a great first half. They got a bit unlucky with the Jimmy injury. There's no doubt about it. This is who they've been all season long, a below 500 record against playoff teams. And again, just haven't been able to win those late game situations. This is the situation they put themselves in. And Coach Spo is always saying, hey, we'll do it the hard way. Well, this is literally the absolute hardest possible way to do it, where now you have to beat the Chicago Bulls again for the second straight season in the second play-in tournament on your home floor. The Bulls look much improved. They're going to be without Alex Caruso, it looks like, tomorrow as well. But even if you get through that game, yeah, man, you're going up against the buzzsaw. The Boston Celtics, what they did in the regular season, it was one of the most historic regular seasons from any team in quite some time. That's going to be a tough situation. But I will say, all right, because I know you're going to get a lot of this on the text line today. I've seen a lot of it on Heat Twitter today already, this early, where people are going to say, well, just blow the game, all right? Tank the game. You get a better draft position, and there's no point because you're going to go and you're going to get swept by the Boston Celtics without Jimmy Butler. Yeah. You're going to get a lot of that, all right? I can promise you one thing. The Miami Heat are not going to approach that game like, oh, we don't have a chance, so what's the point? All right, you're just not, because, hey, what happened last year against the Milwaukee Bucks? Giannis Antetokounmpo gets hurt in the first game, and he ends up missing game two, and the Miami Heat were able to take advantage of that. So it's the NBA, man. Stuff happens. You never know. Do I like the Heat's chances going into Boston against that team, especially without Jimmy Butler? No. Nobody likes those chances. And the Heat, last year, I think they were given a 3% chance to win that series against Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals. I can't wait to see what the percentages
still
are
rather
be
play,
from
though.
ESPN this year.
You still rather play those games, man. I'd rather play those games than sit at home. Alex, I appreciate the time, man. You'll have a broadcast at least on Friday with Jax right here on WQAM. So we'll have more Heat basketball as the Heat and Bulls on Friday, 7 o'clock at the Kaseya Center, and we will be listening this afternoon. By the way, you, Hawk, and Channing, to see if you guys can give us an update on Jimmy here after that MRI and see what's what. But I don't know, man. I saw the news on Zion that he's done for like at least a few weeks, and you see that, and it's like, boy, that's I don't know. I guess one thing doesn't have anything to do with the other, but I just feel like the news on Jimmy is probably not going to be ideal.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. You know, you're right. You said it to start the interview. Felt like a gut punch yesterday. The biggest gut punch wasn't losing. It was the fact that you're probably going to be without playoff Jimmy. Hey, I've been listening to you guys, man, every morning. Omar, you're carrying Hollywood, man. Way to do it.
Oh, stop it. But listen, I say it to you privately, and I want to say it to you on air. I'm so proud of you and the growth that you've done. I listened to you post-game all last night, by the way.
So you're
going to
kiss his ass now that he said something nice about you?
No. I meant to do this at the beginning of the intro. Okay. I'm just saying. You saw all in your feelings.
You know, what, Alex? I listened to you on the pregame last night. I didn't care for it, to be quite honest with you.
That's fair.
Have a good show today, buddy. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Right.
Later.
Alex Solana with us here on QAM. This Heat stuff is depressing, man.
Is it
depressing?
Listen, you slamming the table?
I was so excited for last night's
game. You were just like, playoff Jimmy, waiting.
I thought he was
going to
drop 50. I thought I was, I had something on that Hard Rock app.
Yeah,
like,
you just knew those idiots
23 and a half.
You just knew you were going to be taking money from Hard Rock.
Joke's on me. More to come here on QAM after this. As the Heat fall to the 76ers 105-104, and we'll face elimination on Friday night, Omar, against the Chicago Bulls. Kobe White, if you have heard of him, dropped 42 last night for the Bulls. So Miami's going to maybe have to score a little more than in the low 100s here to hang with the Bulls. They split the season series. I think the Heat have a pretty good chance to win that one at home, and either way, the Celtics are waiting for the winner of that game, so it'll be a 1-8 matchup there. You missed your opportunity last night to get a first-round series with the New York Knicks, which probably would have been far more winnable, but the bigger problem right now that the Heat are facing is that Jimmy Butler is dealing with a significant knee injury at the moment. We'll get more information, more clarity on that later today. It did not seem good,
no,
to say the least, yesterday. And you hear MRI and you hear, you know, Shams comes out and says it's an MCL deal and, you know, that they fear he could be out indefinitely. Shams got that from someone who knows. We'll just put it that way. Those guys don't they don't get like hearsay stuff from the, you know, the Gatorade kid or whatever. So it's not a great situation here for the Heat, as, again, they will face elimination on Friday. And we'll see. We'll see how it goes for them. Hopefully they can at least get past the Bulls and give themselves a roll of the dice with the Boston Celtics. I'd at least like to take my chances, Omar, because, you know, like guys have been saying, like Solana said, and like we've been saying, you never know. You know, you certainly never know what happens. And he brought up Giannis in that first-round series last year. And you never know, man. Maybe you know, maybe Jason Tatum, something, you know, maybe he gets hit by a car or something as he's walking into the arena. You never know. So again,
hey,
you
man,
just,
worry about getting,
know,
past the Bulls. Yeah, that's where the focus needs to be.
So it is funny you say that, because yes, the Bulls are a little bit of a tougher task than we had initially thought here now without Jimmy Butler. Assuming Jimmy doesn't go in that game, I think it would be nothing short of a miracle if he was able to recover in 24 hours and, you know, jump back out there on the floor. So let's probably plan with that he will not be there. By the way, Zion Williamson is going to miss the play-in tournament game against Sacramento on Friday. So you're going to have minus probably two stars in Friday's games here coming up. So that will wrap up the play-in tournament. The playoffs begin on Saturday, and that is the situation in the NBA. In the NFL, I know it's been kind of a sad day, so we haven't really gotten to this, Omar. The draft is in 1 week from today. We will be talking about the NBA draft. The Dolphins have a first-round pick, which actually makes this thing a whole heck of a lot more exciting.
Yeah, Mike McDaniel's first-ever first-round pick.
Yes.
He's super excited about it. You know, his first one was Tyreek. Then his second was Bradley Chubb, and then a penalty for tampering, because when they were trying to hire other guys and, you know, basically being slapped on the wrist for the Brian Flores saga without acknowledging that they got slapped on the wrist for Brian Flores saga. And so we're still paying the penance for that, but the Dolphins do have a first-round pick this year.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.